Welcome to this portion of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and right now our guest is Austin Ruse, who is the author of a new book called Under Siege, No Finer Time to Be a Faithful Catholic. And since this is primarily an evangelical audience, I should add the same thing applies. It's the same basic principles that we'll be talking about. Austin Ruse has headed the Center for Family and Human Rights, CFAM, since shortly after its creation in the summer of 1997. And he's the founder of the National Catholic Prayer Breakfast, founding columnist at thecatholicthing.org. He's also written articles in National Review Online, Weekly Standard, Human Events, Washington Times, First Things, and so on. Austin, welcome back to the program. Thanks so much for joining us.
Delighted to be with you. Thank you.
Sure. So, first of all, this book appeals not just to Catholics, but really faithful Christians of different types. And explain why you decided to write the book, Under Siege.
Well, you know, I've been giving a talk now for many years called No Finer Time to Be a Faithful Catholic. Sometimes I give it under the title No Finer Time to Be a Faithful Christian, because the message really is to people of all denominations and indeed all faiths. And that is that we live in a very dark time. It's darker than anybody knows, really, except somebody like me who follows this kind of stuff on a day-to-day basis. But that there's also quite remarkable news too. One of the bright spots of our time is that Catholics and evangelicals have put aside their theological and ecclesiological differences to work in defending creation from a common enemy, which is the sexual left. That's one of the great bright spots of the last 25 to 50 years. So we live in dark times, but I also make the point that it is a remarkable honor that God himself called the likes of you and me into this fight at this time. You know, he knew all this was going to go wrong. He knew how dark things were going to get. And who did he send? He sent us. You know, my family and I are watching this television program called The Chosen, and, you know, the apostles were not the A-team, you know, and neither are we. And look what they did, and just consider what we can do. So that's why I wrote the book, was to bolster folks so that they understand that we are living in a remarkable time, and people really should not miss it because they're frightened, because they deliberately distract themselves with television, video games, and golf and all the rest, and that they don't also long for previous times and waste time in nostalgia. The time is now, and this is where he sent us, and this is our mission.
Wow. All right, well, let's take an example, the transgender agenda. This is a place where Christians of different stripes can find common cause and say, no, the Bible teaches that, you know, God made us male or female, but not all these other agendas. CNN even said recently something to the effect of, well, the gender is not set at birth, according to, you know, many experts. And I was like, what? That's not true.
Well, right. You know, it is the most extreme example that's happening now, primarily because it is requiring us to not only believe, but to repeat a lie. Every time a school child is required to use somebody's wrong pronouns, they are forcing a religious belief on that child. One of the second chapter in the book is called The Rise of the New State Church. And I argue that there is now an established church in this country, which violates the First Amendment, the Establishment Clause of the First Amendment. And it is a religion that can be described as a combination of paganism, sexual polyversity, and scientism. And it began really with the school prayer decisions in 1962, where the Supreme Court, for the first time in our history, said that the object and purpose of government must be secular. That had never happened before. And so in 1962, the U.S. government put its thumb on the scale of the culture war and came down against us. And what happened after that? There were the contraception decisions in the mid-60s. There was a 1966 Fannie Hill case, which opened the doors for pornography. There was the 1973 Roe v. Wade on abortion. There were various decisions on sodomy in the 90s and the aughts, and then the same-sex marriage decision in 2015. These are all religious assertions against Christians and traditional Christian belief. So we are living under a new established church, and it forces it. And this new established church is heretic hunting. They are looking for the likes of you and me to get us fired from our jobs, in some cases to be prosecuted. I read a story the other day about a police officer, a woman, who was being criminally charged for disagreeing with a 14-year-old boy in her own home about Black Lives Matter. This is only a religious expression, and that's what faithful Christians are up against, and that's why I increasingly see us putting down our arms against each other and defending each other so that we can, A, strike back against the established church and live our faith the way that we see fit.
Yeah, and if I could add one thing to your list of the Ten Commandments, I'm sorry, the Supreme Court rulings and so forth that were against the Judeo-Christian tradition that basically gave birth to this nation. In 1980, the Supreme Court decision called Stone v. Graham, they ruled against the Ten Commandments being allowed to be posted in the schools. They actually wrote, you know, if the commandments are posted in the schools, the children might read them, meditate on them, venerate them, and obey them. And they said, you know, this might seem like it's a worthy goal, but in reality, it's a violation of the Establishment Clause, and therefore we can't have that. Yep. Imagine that. The children could obey the Ten Commandments, and that's wrong. Can you believe that?
There was a debate in this country from the founding up until 1962, and actually beyond. But it's a debate about who we are as a people. And on the one side are those we can call providentialists. And that is that people who see the hand of God in history and believe that this must be taught to our children as an aspect of civic responsibility. On the other side, there are the seculars who think that any expression of religious belief by the government is a violation of the law. So in 1962, the government came down on the side of the seculars. And so what you just described is the new faith striking out at the Christian faith. So, it's perfectly understandable when you see that this has been imposed by the Supreme Court starting in 1962 and all the way to the present day.
You know, it's interesting. One of your previous books is called Fake Science, Exposing the Left's Skewed Statistics, Fuzzy Facts, and Dodgy Data. All right, let's take, going back to the transgender issue, does science say something about the maleness or femaleness of every human being?
Ask me that again.
Okay, what does science itself say about the maleness or the femaleness of any human being?
Well, the whole transgender ideology is based on religious faith and certainly not science. If you turn to science, you can easily see, you know, who is male and who is female. It's based on reproductive systems. You can go deeper and look at DNA. But science tells us who is male and who is female. There is no objective criteria, scientific criteria, for who is quote-unquote transgender and who is not. It's based strictly on subjective feelings. So this is very clearly a religious faith. Now, they will deny that it's a religious faith, but that's what it truly is.
Okay, let's talk about the rights of conscience. I am, as you said earlier, I would be in that category of providentialist. I believe very strongly, yeah, having studied a lot about America's early history. And by the way, I would refer people to a wonderful product by the Encyclopedia Britannica in the 1970s. It's called The Annals of America. It's about 20 volumes, and volumes 1, 2, and 3 deal with the settling era and the founding era of the, what, you know, British North America that became the United States of America. And you see God and the Christian faith all over the place in all sorts of different denominations and so forth. And so, anyway, bottom line is, what's happened is we have been so cut off from our roots. It's like you say, it's the establishment of a new religion, a religion of secularism.
That's right. When you look at the founding of the United States, the founding fathers, the document that they cited overwhelmingly the most was the Bible, both the New and the Old Testament. So, what I like to say is that we were not founded with a Christian government, but we were Christians founding a new nation with the view that the American people would be a religious people, whether they were Christians or Jews or whatever. That's the other thing is we have traditionally believed in pluralism, that Catholic, Protestant, and Jew were equal before each other and before the law. But that has been taken over. We no longer live in pluralism because of this established church. And this established church does not like orthodoxy of any kind.
Yeah, it is I forget how Rabbi Lappin puts it, but it's a very jealous faith that is, and you could see it in the woke ideology and so forth. But let's talk about the rights of conscience. I know that the founders cared about the rights of conscience. I mean, even a letter that George Washington wrote to the Quakers of Pennsylvania after the American Revolution, it was along the lines of, here you have the right to conscience. We could have used your help during the war, but no. But we're not going to, in any way persecute you for your rights. You don't believe in taking up arms because that's your religious views. This idea of the rights of conscience is extremely important. And I think the left doesn't realize how they're just trampling over the rights of conscience today, and one day it'll, trample over them, if, just in the sense that, you reap what you sow.
Well, the left, the sexual left, as I call them, do not believe in the rights of conscience. As a matter of fact, when they get the chance, both in the United States, at the United Nations, and elsewhere, they work to specifically to strike down conscience rights, particularly and especially when it comes to medical personnel who have a religious or moral objection to participating in abortion. So they do not believe in fundamental rights that we have inherited from our founders. They don't believe in freedom of conscience. They don't believe in freedom of religion. It's quite astounding how separated the current left is from what our country has always seen itself as. But like I said, there was a debate in this country for a good long while between the providentialists and the seculars. But even the seculars, going back 100 years, were not quite like the leftists that we see today.
In terms of the left of today, is kind of take no prisoners. They're, for example, they oppose free speech on the grounds that the right should have no speech. their ideas are so illegitimate, it's like, oh, no, they're only the one view should be heard.
That's right. It's like these are the heretic hunters. They are coming for us. They some years ago I did a series of articles at Breitbart about employees at J.P. Morgan Chase, the fourth largest financial institution in the world at that time. And there was a global survey of J.P. Morgan Chase employees, and one of the questions was, are you LGBT or an ally? Those were there were no other choices. Mm. So the employees were afraid that if they didn't answer or they answered in the wrong way, then they would be reeducated. They would lose, that raise. They would lose a promotion. They might even get fired. So they were genuinely afraid of what might happen based on this particular question. And we see this all over the country. Every single company in the Fortune 500 gets 100% ranking on the Human Rights Campaign corporate index of LGBT friendliness. So, and they have gone, and this includes sex change operations in their healthcare plans. So corporate America, at least the executives of corporate America, truly are the enemy of the American people as we have generally understood ourselves.
Oh, my goodness. All right, well, we're basically out of time. Under Siege, No Finer Time to Be a Faithful Catholic. The author of that book has been our guest for this segment, Austin Ruse. Thank you, Austin. All the best.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, you too. Bye-bye.